Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
This vote, the yeas are 263 and the nays are 156. The bill passed.
Illinois Republican Mike Bost in the chair as the House passes the Lake and Riley Act.
The legislation requires the detention of undocumented immigrants who are accused of minor crimes like shoplifting all the way up to more violent crimes. And the goal is to create this kind of indefinite detention of those who've come into the country illegally if they're charged with a minor crime, so as to prevent, a Republican lawmaker say, what happened to Lake and Riley, who was killed by an undocumented immigrant.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Accused insurrectionist Daniel Ball, freed by President Trump's clemency actions, was released and promptly rearrested on pending gun charges. A new wildfire broke out in the Los Angeles area, this one in North L.A. County. More than 50,000 residents ordered to evacuate or be ready to. This is ABC News. President Trump making noises about maybe sanctioning Russia to get it to end its war on Ukraine.
President Trump has said this week he thinks it's in Vladimir Putin's interest to end Russia's war against Ukraine, saying Monday in the Oval Office.
Russia's bigger. They have more soldiers to lose. But that's no way to run a country.
Trump said if a deal is not made soon to end the war, he'll have no other choice but to put high levels of tariffs, taxes, and sanctions on Russia and its products. Russia is already heavily sanctioned by the U.S. because of the war in Ukraine. The president did not say what more actions he would take. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed legislation requiring state police to destroy guns collected during community buybacks. Last year, according to the New York Times, state police acknowledged that the previous disposal method destroyed only the gun's frame. A private company was recycling and selling the other parts. That now stops. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
It's your new Wisco 411, and I'm Amanda suggesting that you get your tickets for Doctors at Recital. Starting at 7 p.m. at the Widener in Green Bay, local physicians and healthcare professionals are putting the stethoscopes down and picking some instruments up, along with area musicians, to perform a variety of genres from classical to jazz and rock to country. All proceeds from the event will go to area nonprofits like Foster the Village. So what are you waiting for? Learn more and grab those tickets at WGBW.FM and click events.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you
yes.
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bears' new head coach takes a shot at Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson introduced today as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. Johnson had this to say about his time with the Lions and beating the Packers.
And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Basketball. The NBA has called off tonight's game between the Bucks and the Pelicans because of the winter storm that has dumped up to a foot of snow in New Orleans. The game to be rescheduled at a later date. The Wisconsin Badgers returning home after losing last night to UCLA in a close one, 85-83. Marquette with a decisive win over Seton Hall, 76-59. Cam Jones back on track, scoring 19 points after struggling over the weekend against Xavier. Head coach Shaka Smart.
You know, if you think about it, his role has changed so much. But I've got to make sure I help him understand that heavy is the head that wears the crown, and there's no two people that applies to in this program more than him and me.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Netflix is raising its rates again by $2.50 a month, regardless of plan. This comes despite the streamer adding 18 million new subscribers in the fourth quarter of 2024. Why would they raise their rates while adding so many subscribers? You'll love this. Netflix says they have to raise their rates to make more content. Yes, they think we aren't very bright. I would have thought they were using that extra money to fix buffering issues from celebrity boxing matches and NFL games. Suits is proving to be one of the most bingeable shows on TV. It now has a popular spinoff called Suits LA. clever. The show has just announced a slew of guest stars who will appear during the first season, which includes stand-up comedian Patton Oswalt, Fear the Walking Dead's Maggie Grace, and Brian Baumgartner, who played Kevin on The Office. Suits LA premieres February 23rd on USA. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered flurries, a low of 5 to 10, wind chills below zero. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, high upper teens. A mix of sun and clouds Friday, high around 20. Warming continues for the weekend. Currently 21 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Trump threatened to imprison local police if they do not help the feds with his deportation raids. I fought back when Trump tried to do this the last time. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, my name is Maggie Dawn. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just before the top of the hour, I shared with you some breaking news, devastating news coming out of Tennessee. There's a shooting, another school shooting at Antioch High School that has enrolled over 2,000 students in Nashville, Tennessee. Apparently one student, a 17-year-old, one female student has died. Another is in stable condition. I do not have additional information at this time on the shooter or any other injuries. We'll keep you posted on that. And I just wanted to point this out. This school shooting in Antioch took place one day after Donald Trump shut down the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. So, there's that. Because, you know, it's real partisan. It's a partisan question about whether or not we want more gun violence. Of course, that is perhaps a little sarcasm in bad taste. We'll bring you more information as we have it about that shooting at Antioch High School in Nashville, Tennessee. Two people are now dead. Here's more information coming in. Two students are dead and another student injured. According to police, two students were shot by another in the cafeteria, the shooter then turned the gun on himself. One female student and the shooter are dead. Again, we'll continue to bring you updates as we have them. Now we're going to turn the page because I sure hope it sounds like change for the better, despite who may be occupying the White House. What can you do, what can we do to combat Donald Trump's anti-woman agenda? I'm really pleased to be joined by the Director of Strategic Communications for Emily's List. She's been a guest on the show before. Her name's Sarah Spain. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Sarah, thanks for making time.
Yeah, good to be back. Thanks for having me, Maggie.
Absolutely. It's the 52nd anniversary of Roe v. Wade today, Sarah. I spent my entire life having the right to control my body, and up until Donald Trump's illegitimate Supreme Court, you know, now I have fewer rights than I did the day I was born. Donald Trump also yesterday removed the first female commandant of the Coast Guard. It is an anti-woman agenda, plain and simple. How do we push back, Sarah? What candidates are Emily's List supporting that we should keep our eye on, especially in federal government, so that we can push back against all of this misogyny? I think it's not just an anti-woman agenda. I'm just going to call it what it is. It's misogyny and woman hate.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough week, tougher by the news that you just shared. I think that's absolutely devastating, and hearts go out to the family for that, families for that. It's been a tough week, a whirlwind, and it hasn't even been a week. It's been a few days. It feels like forever. With the executive orders that Trump has put into place, with the, you know, rolling back DEI, making executive orders that are anti-trans. We've seen so much. It's hard to list. I think he has a record number of executive orders in a first day since the 30s, 1930s. And so it's been a lot. That said, I think we're commemorating the 52nd anniversary of Roe, and something that we've been going through at Emily's List is just the real work that the Democratic pro-choice women in office have done since the Dobbs decision. Right. We have seen it at every level of government. We've seen it at congressional. We've seen it at presidential from Vice President Harris when she was in office. We've seen it mayor, governors, state legislatures, that women, when they are in office, Democratic pro-choice women do protect abortion access. And so that's why we do the work that we do. It's why, as we look forward to a future where we want to see rights protected, where we want to see our democracy protected, that there need to be more Democratic pro-choice women in office. We have two women running for governor in 2025. We're really excited about them. We have Mikey Sherrill and Abigail Spanberger. Mikey is running in New Jersey and Abigail in Virginia. Both are battle tested. They got into this fight in 2018 after Trump and his administration, kind of with that anger and that big blue wave that we saw. And so they have this battle testing. They come from national security backgrounds. They're both very bipartisan in Congress. And so really excited about those candidates. And I think I would say keep an eye on those women. They are fighting for change, and we are going to need more Democratic pro-choice women at the governor level in the future.
Yeah, one of the things that I think is really interesting, and we're going to see, at least in my mind, we should continue to watch this space, because, and I will applaud and support the raised profile mm-hmm. of, you know, certain women leaders in Congress. But the squad represents sort of a particular viewpoint along the political spectrum. What I think is notable about Ms. Sherrill and Ms. Spanberger is that they are sort of consensus building, pragmatic Democrats. And one of the things that I've always pushed back against myself is that all women candidates or all women electeds fall into this box, and this box gets placed on like the furthest left end of the political spectrum. When in reality, there are many women elected officials and many women that work within government and in politics that are far more consensus oriented, far more pragmatic than sort of the hype, if you will, would lead folks to believe. These two individuals stand out. Of course, Susan Crawford, as a jurist running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, stands out. What's your take on, and is Emily's List actively trying to raise the profile of Democratic women that are all along what I'm going to call the Democratic political spectrum? Because we are a big tent. There are lots of viewpoints.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of viewpoints. I also think we have this data that shows that when Democratic pro-choice women are in office, they are more bipartisan. They do get more stuff done. They get more bills passed. And so for us, we see that. And so we're trying to get more Democratic pro-choice women in office. And you mentioned Susan Crawford, Judge Susan Crawford. We're really excited about her. She's right in your home state of Wisconsin, running for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. It's our second Wisconsin State Supreme Court race that we're getting involved in. Our first one was actually Emily's List's first ever state Supreme Court case or state Supreme Court election that we ever got involved in. And so really excited about her. She brings a lot of experience as a prosecutor. She brings experience as a county judge. And so I think as we look towards the future, as we talk about Trump and the Republicans, we know that they're going to try to ban abortion every way possible, no matter what they say. And something that Republicans have been doing is really trying to ban abortion at the court level. It allows them to sidestep the will of the American people. And so to build this power in these state Supreme Courts is really important moving forward.
And I think, again, representation matters, one in and of itself. But your point that by almost any metric, women elected officials are more effective just in terms and bipartisanship and getting bills passed in their approach to legislating, it merits noting, right? As we go through what is guaranteed to be a very troubling but tumultuous time, to look to those among us that you may know in your communities and on a larger scale that do legitimately seek to find common points of values and do seek to move forward the things that the vast majority of us agree about, including, of course, reproductive choice. I just wanted to extend to you, Sarah, and everyone at Emily's List, given the passing of Cecile Richards yesterday and this anniversary, my thanks and appreciation and frankly condolences to everybody at Emily's List who's worked so hard. I know it was, when I read of her passing, I knew she was ill. It was a lot this week in particular, but I think it reminds us of the stakes and the importance of, again, electing women that will drive policies forward that the vast majority of us agree about and will elevate issues that we know are critical to every middle class and working family: childcare, housing issues, right? Making sure that every kid has a full belly in school. These are things I see Democratic female candidates really elevating across the nation and are so critical, again, for the middle class to do better.
Fully agree.
Yeah, it's go ahead, Sarah, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, I fully agree. And I think just in terms of Cecile Richards, I think it's devastating news. And she was a ground shaker and a mover, and she was always getting things done. And I think it's a reminder that in this moment, when it feels like maybe there's not a lot of hope, it's hard watching the Republican administration move on these issues that we've fought so hard about and so hard for. It's a reminder to continue moving forward, and that this is a fight for our generation that we need to continue fighting for.
Having grown up with reproductive freedom, right, and having that stripped away, I think pulls into sharper focus for me and for women across the political spectrum, not just Democratic women, that we are indeed in an existential generational battle right now. We've only seen the tip of the iceberg with Donald Trump's misogyny agenda, his anti-woman agenda, and it's going to take women across the political spectrum who have these places of agreement that understand what's actually important to middle-class families and women, to make sure that we know exactly what is going on. If you can speak to Wisconsinites a bit when we come back, Sarah, and identify for them, hey, how to get involved, how to find out about more these candidates, this race here in Wisconsin for the Supreme Court, but also these other critical races that Emily's List is involved in, because I want to be sure that every single listener here, whether you're a woman or a man, or, you know, somebody that loves a woman or has a sister or a mother, which is everybody, knows how to get involved and stay involved. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. We're talking with Sarah Spain of Emily's List about what we can do to push Trump back on the Trump misogyny agenda that he's clearly been rolling out this past week. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll have more in just a moment.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
This statement is not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver. And at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of Active Liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with Active Liver. You can find Active Liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for Active Liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, New Nordic.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Just give me the lights. Just give me the lights. Yo, yo. Just give me the light and start the show. What's another buckle of more? Yeah, let me know my sides and I got to know which one is gonna catch my flow, cause I'm in the vibes and I got my dough.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name's Maggie Dawn. I am joined every Wednesday at 3 p.m. by fantastic guests from Emily's List who support Democratic pro-choice female candidates for elected office. Today, we've got their director of strategic communications, Sarah Spain, with me. Welcome back to the show, Sarah. Before we went to break, I was asking you about how can Wisconsinites get engaged, stay informed about what's going on, not just in our Supreme Court race, but nationwide, so that folks, if they are so inclined, can find these points of value alignment and push back on Donald Trump's misogyny agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one, stay on top of the news. It's a busy news cycle. I think it's really easy to clock out. I frankly forgot how fast it moved and have been thrown right back into it. So things move really quickly. And I think it's hard to, it's easy to check out and hard to kind of stay integrated in it. And I would recommend continuing to follow along. It's really important we know what's happening with our rights, with our futures. And so to follow along and stay in that news cycle and take the time you need to, you know, have those breaks, but to follow along. So I would recommend that. I also would say Emily's List are on our socials. It's Emily's underscore list on Instagram. Is always posting our Democratic pro-choice candidates that are making a difference, but also women that are currently in office and what they're doing to make a difference in moments like these. It's not always going to be policy. Sometimes it will be. But when we have a Republican trifecta at the federal level, it's also calling out what is going on and the extremism and the attempts to kind of dismantle our democracy and our rights. And so making sure follow along on Emily's List socials. We'll be sharing all of that information as well. There will be opportunities to get involved. We have incredible candidates that I talked about a little bit earlier. We have Mikey Sherrill in New Jersey. We have Abigail Spanberger in Virginia, both running for governor in 2025. We're currently recruiting for 2026. We're going to take back the House. And so being ready to get involved in those really important races as well. And then we have the local level. I think in these moments, and I said it a little bit earlier, but local level is integral. It's where change is made when there is a Republican trifecta at the federal level. And so paying attention to those local level races as well, from attorneys general races, mayoral races, and state Supreme Court in Wisconsin, which is also a race that's coming up. So lots of opportunities to stay involved, but staying integrated in the news cycle, I think, is really important here.
Of course, I'll be here every day to help you sort through the noise and the wheat from the chaff so you know what is extremely important. You can find Emily's list, again, across all the socials at Emily's/list. You can also go to Emily's List website at emilyslist.org. You can also check out my social media feeds where I often will sound off. You can see my hair metaphorically lit on fire. That's at Maggie Dawn Show across all the socials and Margaret Dawn on LinkedIn, which is where I'll unleash some of my more wonky diatribes on the issues of the day. Folks, we're joined this half hour by Sarah Spain. She's the Director of Strategic Communications for Emily's List. We're just talking about, you know, what this Trump misogyny agenda means, how to push back. Specifically, Emily, excuse me, Sarah, can you tell us more about how Emily's List supports female candidates? What does that entail? Especially a candidate like Susan Crawford.
Yeah, I mean, Emily's List, I think it started, and I folks who may have heard this before, but we stand for early money is like yeast. It makes the dough rise. And what that means is that investing in female candidates early on in their races really helps these strong candidates to win in the long run. And so that's how it started as a fundraising network. Women would come together and donate for candidates. And as we've grown, I sometimes describe us as a campaign in a box. We really do campaign services as well, where we help support campaigns deciding to run at the kitchen table with them all the way through election day and after. So it's a really cool way to support candidates from start to finish. And, you know, it can be fundraising, it can be communications. There's a real list of things that we do to support these candidates. It can be sending folks out to support. And so I think there's lots of opportunities of how we support these candidates, but something I find really cool, it's our 40th anniversary this year. We started in 1985. And, you know, looking back, women have always really been at the center of fights for progress. And as we look forward to this fight that I call the fight of my generation and the generations to come, what we see is that because of Emily's List and because of the work that has happened for the past 40 years, women in politics are now at the center of the fight. And they are not only at the center, they are leading these fights. We are seeing it on the committees. We are seeing it in these races. Women, it is strategic to run for office as a woman. It is, you know, as we talked about a little bit earlier, more effective in office. So these women are leading this fight of our generation. And I find that really, really awesome.
Yeah. No matter what moment of our nation pushing forward in terms of either civil rights, human rights, the rise of the middle class, don't be fooled. It has always been women, especially Black and brown women, who have been at the core of those battles. Without women, nobody else gets their civil rights increased or acknowledged. It simply doesn't happen that way, whether we're talking about the gay rights movement, the civil rights movement, but of course, women's suffrage originally and women's liberation in the 60s. Every single pivotal moment in our nation's history has been driven forward by women and would never have occurred without women. And we simply do not get enough credit for that. It's notable that Senator Tammy Baldwin got bipartisan legislation for the Women's Suffrage Monument to be erected, which they are now predicting to be finished somewhere in the ballpark of 2030 to 2035. It's about time. For real, we had to click through like three centuries to finally get it done. Sarah, thanks so much for being here, folks. You've been listening to Sarah Spain, Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List. We come back, it's going to be over the hump in Trump, our relief from all the politics on Wednesday afternoons. If you're watching me on YouTube or at Maggie Dawn Show on the Insta, Facebook, or Twitter, doing a little costume change. You won't want to miss it. All that coming up after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Around you is all I see. Is what I want to do.
We ought to stay together. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
This vote, the yeas are 263 and the nays are 156. The bill passed.
Illinois Republican Mike Bost in the chair as the House passes the Lake and Riley Act.
The legislation requires the detention of undocumented immigrants who are accused of minor crimes like shoplifting all the way up to more violent crimes. And the goal is to create this kind of indefinite detention of those who've come into the country illegally if they're charged with a minor crime so as to prevent, a Republican lawmaker say, what happened to Lake and Riley, who was killed by an undocumented immigrant.
ABC's Jay O'Brien accused insurrectionist Daniel Ball, freed by President Trump's clemency actions, was released and promptly rearrested on pending gun charges. A new wildfire broke out in the Los Angeles area, this one in North L.A. County. More than 50,000 residents ordered to evacuate or be ready to. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bears' new head coach takes a shot at Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson introduced today as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. Johnson had this to say about his time with the Lions and beating the Packers.
And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Basketball. The NBA has called off tonight's game between the Bucks and the Pelicans because of the winter storm that has dumped up to a foot of snow in New Orleans, the game to be rescheduled at a later date. The Wisconsin Badgers returning home after losing last night to UCLA in a close one, 85-83. Marquette with a decisive win over Seton Hall, 76-59. Cam Jones back on track, scoring 19 points after struggling over the weekend against Xavier. Head coach Shaka Smart.
You know, if you think about it, his role has changed so much. But I've got to make sure I help him understand that heavy is the head that wears the crown, and there's no two people that applies to in this program more than him and me.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Abbott Elementary, which should include everyone, will be excited to hear that the show has been renewed for a fifth season. News comes on the heels of good winter ratings and a crossover episode with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that drew over 8 million viewers. The show is about an underfunded inner-city Philadelphia public school and has great laughs. Abbott Elementary airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on ABC. Star Wars might be about to get a little more dreamy. Sure, Deadpool and Wolverine director Sean Levy is on board to helm, and people seem happy with the script. But it's the rumors that Ryan Gosling will lead the cast that's gotten everyone excited. If Gosling signs on, the film will start principal photography very soon, according to The Hollywood Reporter. In other Star Wars news, The Mandalorian and Grogu is headed to theaters summer of 2026. Anyone else having trouble keeping these films straight? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered flurries, a low of 5 to 10, wind chills below zero. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, high upper teens. A mix of sun and clouds Friday, high around 20. Warming continues for the weekend. Currently 21 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Thursday's show, we'll get the headlines with the Press Times and editor Chris Leonard.
And we'll talk with comedian Jeff Allen, who has a performance coming up at the Cup of Joy here in Green Bay. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Calm me down.
everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Usually I'm drawing about politics and economics and wonky legal stuff because I'm your friendly lady lawyer and economist and political commentator that you can find here on the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you from 5:40 a.m. the WAUK every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. But if you're not in southeastern Wisconsin, don't worry. You can catch me on the free Civic Media app and across every single one of Civic Media's talk radio network stations. But in addition to talking about politics and economics and the law and all this wonky business, I've decided we all need a midweek break in this news segment that will be every 3:30 on Wednesday, every Wednesday at 3:30 that I have dubbed Over the Hump and Trump, because we all need a break, including me. And this morning, I had a little segment planned for today. We're going to use it next week because there's some really cool news that broke this morning that I have a deep personal connection to. Let's take a listen. If you haven't already heard, Cardi's got cut 1C that will tell you about the big news that broke this morning.
I'm trying to reach CC's event.
Yeah, please.
This is him.
CC, hi. This is Jack O'Connell with the Baseball Writers Association of America.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you'll be doing fine, too, in about 2 seconds. The writers have elected you to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Folks, that is the sound of former Brewers pitcher CC Sabathia getting the news from the Baseball Writers Association that he, on the very first ballot, has been voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. For CC, Cooperstown awaits. Now, you got to go back into the Brewers annals for why this is such a big deal for Brewers fans. Now, he closed out his career with the New York Yankees, and I'm glad he got to wear the pinstripes. That was a big deal for Mr. Sabathia. But for Brewers fans, including this lady here, his time with the Brewers was basically historic. Now, we've got some of the sound from one of the most notable games that CC ever pitched for the Brewers. And we're going to get to that. You're not going to want to miss that. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about Mr. Sabathia. By the way, I have a signed baseball from CC Sabathia. I have a few like little nerdy sports memorabilia things, and that one is one of my prized possessions. It's second only to the signed baseball that my dad signed after he cracked a home run in Old County Stadium before it was torn down when he was playing in men's senior baseball, which I love. But yes, I have a baseball signed by Mr. Sabathia. CC played in Major League Baseball for 19 years, which is really incredible. And for 3 months in 2008, he put the Brewers on his back and carried them into the playoffs. This was notable, of course, because the Brewers had not been to the playoffs since 1982, a 26-year drought. Now, everybody that's big fans of the Brewers these days, it seems like we make the playoffs every year. We've been spoiled. But back in the day, it wasn't so. It was a big, big dry spell. Now, I was but a little kid back in 82 and the 13-game winning streak in 83. And I remembered all that so fondly. My father gave me my love of baseball and specifically the Brewers. But that game in 2008 was absolutely amazing. He was brought to the Brewers in July of 2008 before the All-Star game in a major trade. He was brought in from Cleveland in exchange for Matt LaPorta, Zach Johnson, Rob Bryson, and Michael Brantley. So it was a huge deal. He made 17 starts for the Brewers, pitched 7 complete games. I just want everybody to marinate on that. 7 complete baseball games. That like never happens anymore. That's how dominant CC Sabathia was. But what I will always remember is one particular baseball game that occurred on September 28th, 2008. And Cardi, if we can start to get that sound queued up.
This was the game that the Brewers had to win. They were playing at home. They had to win this game to get to the playoffs. And they were playing our I-94 rivals, those dreaded and dastardly Chicago Cubs. Boo. Everybody should be booing. Yes, boo. So it was a big deal. Now, at the time, I had moved back to the Midwest. And I came up. I was living in Chicago. I came up for that game because it was such a big deal. And I brought with me the guy I was dating at the time, who wasn't a huge baseball fan, but I was like, honey, get your butt in the car. We're going to Milwaukee because this is the game. This is a big, huge deal. And Sabathia had been so dominant. And so we've got some sounds from that game. And it seems like kind of this oddly kismet event that, of course, we lose the beloved Bob Uecker last week. And you're going to hear a little Uke doing some game calls from this special game on September 20th, 2008. But I was there with the guy I was dating and watched what was one of the most exciting sporting events I have ever seen in my entire life. Now, let me set the stage for this first cut that we've got from that game going back to September 28th, 2008. It is the bottom of the eighth inning. It is tied. The Brewers and the dastardly Cubs are tied 1-1. There is a man on first base, and Ryan Braun is up to bat. Let's take a listen to what happened next.
And there's a drive to the left field. This is hit well. And it's gone! Ryan Braun! A two-run home run! The Brewers take the lead!
The Brewers take the lead over the dastardly Cubs 3-1. And if you're watching on Civic Media's YouTube channel or at Maggie Dawn Show on X, Insta, or Facebook, you have just seen me put on my wild card hat from 2008, bought on September 28th, 2008. Now, the Brewers needed to hold on, of course. Got to close out this game. So what came next? CeCe taking the mound for yet another complete game at the top, on the top of the ninth inning. Now, one of the Cubs, they get on first base, and then this went down. Let's take a listen to Uke.
Everybody in this place is standing. 45,299. Sabathia sets. Here it is. Swing and a bouncer. Double play ball. JJ, second. Relay.
Folks, I lost my mind. I had tears coming down my face when that happened. I have tears welling up in my eyes right now. It was absolutely overwhelming. I was one of over 45,000 fans that watched CeCe, again, carry the Brewers on his back into the postseason. Now, what made this extra special, including the win, including the go-ahead home run from Braun, including this historic season that CeCe helped close out for the Brewers to get them into the playoffs for the first time in 26 years. But here's what was extra special and that will always set this moment and this game apart in my sports fan memory was that every single one of those over 45,000 fans didn't leave the stadium. And they didn't leave the stadium because the Marlins were playing the Mets in Miami. And the Marlins, if they beat the Mets, locked the Brewers into the postseason. And again, those dastardly Mets, whom I will always hate after this last season for the Brewers. And so we all waited there with the game, the Marlins game, on the Jumbotron. And of course, there were people that whipped out huge stuffed Marlins because we were all rooting for the Marlins against those dastardly Mets. And I think we've got enough time to take a listen to a call of everybody waiting next.
Yes! Sabathia! A complete game! And the Brewers beat the Cubs 3-1! Wow. Raise a glass, Milwaukee!
What a game! My goodness, they guarantee at least a one-game playoff. Unbelievable game here at Miller Park. Incredible atmosphere. What a finish.
Complete game number 10 for Sabathia. Number 7 is a Brewer. On 3 days rest, he finishes one. And the Brewers win a huge one. The 90th win of the year. And now everybody watches and waits while the Mets and the Marlins finish up.
So we're all waiting. And then this happens.
All right, Craig, thanks. And we're here in the clubhouse, obviously, because it's so tapered off and protected, the lockers and the TVs. All of the players are in the dining room, the players' dining room. They're all stuffed in there waiting for the final out. Of course, they're watching the Mets game, and just like we're watching the Mets game. And as soon as it ends, if it does end in a Marlins victory, you can bet pandemonium right in here. We'll be here. So we're all ready to go down in the clubhouse.
You got your Teflon shirt on?
I've been looking to get rid of this shirt for years.
Do they make waterproof shirts?
I think goggles are a must now. Champagne stings.
Uh-oh.
So.
Long fly.
Yeah. Here we go. Look out, boys.
The Brewers are going to the playoffs in 2008.
That is the crowd.
How sweet it is.
45,000 fans watching a Jumbotron.
Everybody was like, of the Brewers clubhouse, champagne is popping and spraying.
It's like winning the lottery twice
in one stinking day here at Miller Park. What a scene! 1982, the last time this team went to the playoffs, and they're finally back. In 1982, there was no wild card. In 2008, there's only one, and it's the Milwaukee Brewers.
The players came back out onto the field. The fans streamed onto the field. I didn't think I felt my feet touch the cement in Miller Park for the next 20 minutes. It was insane. And I'm going to tell us all what this moment has to say about this time right now in these United States. So come back with me, because I always try to pull it all together for you. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My hat's off to you, Mr. CC Sabathia. I'm so happy you made the Hall of Fame on the first vote. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be right back.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Central heat, you know, the HVAC systems that heat your entire house. Man, those can really cost us an arm and a leg. And they lose up to 30% of their energy through the ductwork, plus more when we're heating rooms that we aren't even using. Well, one trick that can bring down your heating bill is to lower your thermostat and use energy-efficient space heaters where you really need the heat. I'm a little retro, and I like radiant heaters. Those are heaters that just heat a specific area in a room. On average, running a 1,500-watt space heater is going to cost you about 20 cents an hour. While running your central electric furnace, that's going to run you $1.37 an hour. So space heaters can mean real savings. However, if you use a space heater, make sure you follow the directions for their safe use. For more Everyday Money tips, check out workmoney.org. The next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Gracious, CC Sabathia is going to Cooperstown, everybody. I can tell you what, Mr. Sabathia made my 2008 a memorable 2008. I was at the September 28th, 2008 game where the Brewers clinched the wild card. Mr. Sabathia pitched a complete game, an absolute clinic. It was so exciting. And of course, we're doing this new segment called Over the Hump and Trump on Wednesdays at 3:30 because I am trying to share with all of you my New Year's intentions to laugh more, create more, connect more, play more, rest more, and move more. And so this falls into the play category, of course. I love sports. I'm a huge baseball nut. So for that reason alone, it was worthy of mention today, of course, in the news as well. But there's another probably much more fundamental reason that I wanted to share this moment in my memory and this collective exuberance and joy that Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin had thanks to Mr. Sabathia back in 2008. And it's because of the connection. A connection that we all shared on that day through that shared joy and exuberance, not just those that were lucky enough to be at then Miller Park, which I was, but with all of Milwaukee, all of the state of Wisconsin, and Brewers fans everywhere, our connection through something that has nothing to do with politics. And I wanted to share this with you as well, because what I learned that day is sharing the things that you love, like a little kid loves snow days, with other people increases not just your joy, but their joy and everyone's joy around you. So I had dragged this guy I was dating to Miller Park, not a baseball fan. Guess what he was? Our relationship might have ended many moons ago, but that guy's still a huge Brewers fan. And that day I gave him the gift of my love for baseball. So I have a moment, again, that I wanted to share with all of you. I hope that we get to share a lot of these moments where I can share my love of baseball and sports generally with each and every one of you, and where you can share some of the things that you love with me and with everybody else that's listening, with Cardi and everybody here at Civic Media. Because it's those things that we have to come back to when our political leaders seek to divide us by race, by gender, we can find these moments, these things that actually bring about much, much deeper togetherness. Because it's not just about baseball. It wasn't just about that game. It was about that moment. And we need more of those moments. So I have a request, a challenge for everybody out there listening. I get a lot of enjoyment out of a lot of things. Doing this job is one of them, and I share it with each of you every day. And in this job that I love, I get to talk about things that I love, like baseball, like that game from September 28th, 2008, ending a 26-year playoff drought for my beloved Milwaukee Brewers. My challenge to each of you, between today's Over the Hump and Trump segment and next week's Over the Hump and Trump segment, which you will be able to find next week at 3:30 right here across the Civic Media Radio Network, is I want you to conjure up, to remember something that you love so much, it creates joy for you. Like the joy a kid has when they got a snow day. And good luck, Northeastern Wisconsin and Northwestern Wisconsin. You got a lot of snow. You may have a joyful kid's snow day tomorrow. I want you to find that thing. Remember that thing. Re-engage with that thing. And I want you to share it with somebody. Sit down with them. Tell them why you love it. Share some memory of joyful moments past. Ask them what they know about this thing you love. And just share your childlike joy and exuberance and love of something that has nothing to do with politics with someone in your life. And if you want an A+ on this little assignment, share it with someone in your life that you know you deeply, deeply have political disagreement with. And I hope that this gives you an opportunity to have that moment of connection, to have that experience of shared joy about something that has nothing to do with politics with someone that you may disagree with all the gosh darn time. Because this is part of the pathway forward. So, let's review our assignment, everybody. Between now, nearly 4 o'clock on January 22nd and next week, January 29th, I'm going to ask you all to share with me the joy that you shared with someone else. And by doing so, I hope that we can multiply connection with one another on the things that bring us all joy as human beings. We're going to try to inject some of that into this show on a more regular basis because Lord knows we all got to get over the hump and Mr. Trump. And I'm going to do it here every Wednesday with you. Thank you so much for being with me every day. Thanks to Cardi for getting all that fabulous Brewers sound. I was tearing up, everybody. Keep it locked right here on Civic Media because Dom Salvia is next up with the Dom Salvia Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. You can find me here from 2 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for the Milwaukee Brewers!
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio joins us to talk about President Biden's pardon of Leonard Peltier. Also, this shouldn't be a thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community.
It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. State and local officials on notice. Don't get in the way of President Trump's immigration enforcement efforts.
The three-page memo from a senior Justice Department official who previously served as a Trump defense lawyer directs U.S. attorneys to investigate and prosecute local and state officials who resist, obstruct, or otherwise fail to comply with federal immigration commands and requests. A number of senior career officials in the department have now been reassigned by the new leadership to a Sanctuary Cities Enforcement Task Force. They've been told if they don't like it, they can leave.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. At Nashville's Antioch High School, a 17-year-old male student shot and killed a female student and wounded a male student before killing himself. Nancy Lieutenant Cologne died at a nursing home in New York. She was the first black woman to join the U.S. Army Nurse Corps when Truman desegregated the military in 1948. One of six siblings who served, Nancy Lieutenant Cologne was 104. This is ABC News.